Torah of Shabbos that came right after the Levaya of the Rav. So Aaron, Elazar, and Nisama were told, Avira Moshe, Aaron, Elazar, and Nisama, and Av, Vashaychem al Tifro, Gdechem lo Sifromu, Halosa Musu, Vial Kol Eido Yiktov, Vachechem kol Beis Yisrael, Yivku, Asasrefo, Asasaraf Hashem. And after Aaron lost his two sons, he and the surviving brothers were told they can't practice the practices of Avelos. V'achichem kol beis Yisrael yivku as a sreifo asher saraf Hashem. So the Ksav Sofer comments that when the broader community gets involved in the Avelos, when anybody gets involved in Avelos, they can get involved in Avelos because they were close to the Nifter, the person that passed away. Or sometimes they're drawn into Avelos because they're close with the Avelim, with the mourners themselves. And they see the emotions of the Avelim and the tears of the Avelim. And that draws them into to Avelos. The Ksav Sofer says that Klal Yisrael, on the day that they lost to Avelos. The Ksav Sofer says that Klal Yisrael, on the day that they lost, the sons of Aaron were supposed to focus solely on Hasreifa Asher Saraf Hashem. And they should not be drawn in to the Avelos through their own personal connection, and neither should they be drawn in through the practices of Avelos of Aaron and the surviving brothers. All of us, Talmidim of the Yeshiva, who lost the Rav when he had not been giving shurim for many, many years. It's different than when the Rashiva leaves Bimlo Kochosov. And the sense of Avelos that is thrust upon us is not one of the feeling the impact of the immediate loss that we felt in a drawn out way over the years. The Tira and the Levaya were in Pesach, so we were not personally involved. Many of us were not involved in the Levaya or the Kvura. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says that it's time to be focused on Hasreifa Shesaraf Hashem, just on the loss itself, which we can all certainly do by focusing on the Torah and the great Yerusha that the Rav has left for us. The Gemara Yevamis says, Daf Tzadivav, Ma'idich Siv, Oguru Ba'oleich Olamim. David HaMelech said that I will live in your tent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throughout worlds. V'chi efshar l'lodum l'gur b'shnei olamim, Elo Omer David l'tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yi Ratzon Sheyarmud, Devar Shemua Mipi. That David HaMelech said that it will be as if I live both in the Olam HaEmes and in this world if people will say over my Torah. A sense of chiyus, a sense of life that is appended to that Talmud Chacham. The Gemara goes on, Rav Yitzchak ben Zira, Vitem Hashem ben Zira. The Pasuk says in Shira Ashirim, Vechechech kiyein atov, Holech ladodu l'mishorim. Dov zev, Sfoso, Yishenim, Kikoyim, Shal Anovim. And the Gemara says, why are the lips, the Sifse Yishenim, compared to Koyim, Shal Anovim, to that Kli, which holds the grapes that are being prepared to be pressed for wine? The Gemara says that Ma'akoyim Shal Anovim, this dish which holds these grapes, Kevin Sheminiach Odom Mitzvoy Olov, a person touches them, Miyad Doive, they begin to bubble, they begin to froth and to let off some gas. Av Talmud Chacham, Kevin Sheimer Divrei Shmu Mipiyem Boil Mazer, Sif Seiseyem Doive Vais Bekever. So too, when we begin to touch the Torah of those that are no longer with us physically, so there's a sense of chiyus, the lips begin to move, the sense of life is given. I was wondering, what did the Rabbi Yitzchak ben Zira, who, interestingly enough, quoted Shimon Nazira in this mashal about wine, what did he add to what Shimon Yechid already said? that's the soifs of Dovois Bekeva. This mashal, that when a person touches the grapes that are sitting in the keli, so that's the mashal that Shimon Reb Yitzchok ben Zira added to us. Who needed this mashal? But apparently, the nimshal is that sometimes you can repeat a person's Torah exactly the way it is. That's what Shimon Yochai was referring to. Talmud Chacham she'omrim dvar shmua mipiv ba'olam hazeh sifsoisov dovois bekever kilu anichai, Rashi says. And sometimes the person's Torah is that powerful and that fundamental and that enlightening that whenever you touch it, the Torah itself begins to shed light on more suyas and more questions. And that's the mashal of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Zira. That's a different kind of sifsoisov dovois bekever. The Rav, when he spoke outside of Shir publicly, he used to focus on primarily on sugyas that were very, very much a part of a person's daily routine, on brachas and in moed. So the way that I'd like to be mekayim sifsoisov dovois bekever is to touch on two sugyas, and later on we'll see the common denominator. One is one of the Rav's approaches to brachas hamitzvahs, and the other is the Rav's approach to Kovin Shabbos. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, when we divrei soifrim levarach al kol machol tchila, that there's a din derabbanan to make a bracha on everything that one eats before one benefits from it. We call anenem le bracha moal. And if a person eats without making a bracha, then he violates a din derabbanan, an isid rabbanan. And the Rambam continues, the kishem shemivorchin al hanoya kach mivorchin al kol mitzvah mitzvah v'yachar kach yaso. So, and just as one makes a bracha hano, so too one has to make a bracha in mitzvahs. The Rambam goes on, brachis rabos and the many brachos that Chazal gave us for shevach v'idoya. Whenever the Rav came across the kishem in the Rambam or lefichach in the Rambam, that usually was, we knew that we were having a shir on that word of the Rambam. And when the Rambam came across, when the Rav noted, that the Rambam connects the Takanas of Chazal to make a bracha on Birchas HaMitzvahs to the Takanas that Chazal had to make a bracha on Birchas HaNenin, a connection which he does not draw for Birchas Shevach Vaidoya. So the Rav explained that the Rambam was indicating to us that the Takana, the legislation of Chazal, the very legislation, the content of the legislation that Chazal had, Lagabe Mitzvah Birchas Hanoya, was to be compared and was to be, was to illuminate the content of the Takon of Chazal with respect to Birchas HaMitzvahs. And just as Chazal, when they established the Birchas Hanenin, it was a two-step process. Step number one was exactly what order you put it in is a discussion in and of itself. But one aspect was the positive aspect of giving a bracha to Kadosh Baruch Hu before one benefits from the world. And the other aspect was that there was a prohibition to benefit from this world if one does not make that bracha. And in the Rav's language, it would be that the bracha was a matir, that it permitted the, made permissible, it allowed us to proceed, or otherwise there would be a prohibition to eat. So too, when Chazal established the Birchas HaMitzvahs, they also said that there was a positive commandment to, positive mitzvah to Rabbanon, to make a bracha on mitzvahs, and this bracha should be seen as a matir, as permitting that which otherwise we should rather not do. Rambam is not formulated as an Isur Me'ila. There are some poskim that are quoted to take this approach much further and to actually have almost an Isur Rabbanon to do a mitzvah without a bracha. That's a rather extreme application. And the approach of the Rav is well borne out in the Rambam, because the Rambam paskins that just as when it comes to Birchas Hanen, and after one has had Hanah, after one is eaten, and when it's completed eating, so one doesn't make a Birchas Hanen anymore, it's forfallen. So too the Rambam says that with the exception of a mitzvah mushaches, a mitzvah which is a multi-part mitzvah, a mitzvah which is drawn out, or the exception of Tfilas Hager, and there the Rambam is a very rigorous formulation of why Tfilas Hager is different. But aside from these kinds of mitzvahs, tefillin and tzitzis and sukkah and tefillas ager, so if a person has completed the fulfillment of the maisa mitzvah, the act of the mitzvah, then there's no room to say birchas mitzvah anymore. This is opposed to the sheet of the Or Zeruah, which the Hagoy Sashri quotes in Chulin, that one should say a birchas mitzvah even after completing a mitzvah, if one forgot to say it prior to doing the mitzvah. And probably the approach of the Or Zeruah is that the idea behind the birchas mitzvah is that we should associate the Rebbeinu Shlom's name with the mitzvah. She has korah shem shemayim ala mitzvah. Maybe it makes its miyached the act. It somehow makes sure that this act is a mice and mitzvah. And I could bring a raya for the Or Zeruah, because the Gemara, when it discusses in Brochos and the Nafmem and Beis, the source for birchas mitzvahs, so the source is that we say, lo avarti mitzvah secha v'lo shechachti. So the Gemara darshes, lo avarti mil brechacha, I didn't forget to make a bracha, v'lo shechachti mil hazkir shimcha. And I didn't forget to mention your name, mil hazkir shimcha lo. So it would not be inappropriate to define birchas mitzvahs as haskoras shem shemayim on something. And I can understand that that could be accomplished even after the maisa was done. That's not the position of the Rambam or of the way we pass. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger formulates it in the way that we would expect it to be formulated. It's in Chazal, Rekeveya, Birchas HaMitzvah. So they were Keveya, that a Birchas HaMitzvah only has a place before the Mitzvah, and doesn't have the no takana to make a Birchas HaMitzvah after the Maisa Mitzvah. But according to the Rav's approach, so everything is fits in very beautifully, that since the Bracha is formulated as a Matir, since the purpose of the Bracha is to give us access to that which we otherwise would not have access to, or shouldn't have access to, so after the Maisa Mitzvah has been done, unless it's still accessible, and still it's a Mitzvah Mushaches, or the unusual case of Tfilas Ager, a special Din Rabbanon, so we would not be appropriate to make a Bracha. And then the Rav went a step further. What does it mean, Kishem? Just as Chazal, when it comes to Birchas Hanenin, Chazal pointed out that there's a stira. Chazal wanted us to think about the contradiction between Lashem Oretz Umloya. The Gemara in Brachi says, why are there Birchas Hanenin? Because one pasuk says, Lashem Oretz Umloya, Kadosh Baruch Hu owns everything, he's the bailus of everything. Another pasuk, V'oretz Hasalam Neyodom. So Kan Koidin Bracha, Kan Liachar Bracha. So Chazal wanted us to focus, before we benefit from this world, that the very act of enjoying this world contains a stira. And that the person has to understand that there are limitations to one's rights in using this world. And Chazal wants us to make sure that when we engage in acts of violence and enjoy this world, that we understand that there are limitations to that violence. And that violence, that the degree to which we have rights to this world are dependent on the consciousness that we have of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and our degree of Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tomin. So the Rav said, Kishem, there's also a stira in Kima Mitzvahs. How can, the Rav said this very often in the context of Tefillah, but in this particular analysis, it was in the context of Kiyum Mitzvahs Bechlal. How can Bosav Adam, how can a human being, through the act of mitzvahs, come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu? How can he go beyond his limited being and try to touch in some way the Kedusha of Kadosh Baruch Hu that's inherent in all Kiyum Mitzvahs? So the very act of mitzvah in itself contains a certain paradox, a certain stira that Chazal wanted us to focus on before we do mitzvahs. I'd like to look at this stira that the Rav pointed out and try to analyze it a little bit further and understand it a little bit deeper. That we understand that the content, the mahus of the matir of Birchas Hanenin, is that we have to focus the Kadosh Baruch Hu who's created that which we are having. That we have to understand that our degree of bialos is dependent on being able to be conscious of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What is the nature of the matir that Chazal established for Birchas HaMitzvahs? What are we saying when we say Asher Kedishonu Mitzvahs V'Tzivonu? The Ramban, in explaining the Birchas Erusin. Birchas Erusin, as you all know, is very problematic to all the Rishonim. Hey, we're about to do the mitzvah of Kiddushin, getting married, and we make this unusual bracha of Tzivonu al Aroyos, of Osolonu Servusos, Vitilonu Senesuis Lonu, Ayde Chupa Vikidushin, Merchat Hashem, Mekadish Yisrael, Ayde Chupa Vikidushin. This bracha, the Nusach itself, was one of the reasons why the Rosh held that it was not a Birchas HaMitzvah, it must be a Birchas HaShavach. One of the reasons the Rosh, one of the arguments the Rosh gives is that this is, doesn't have the Nusach of a Birchas HaMitzvah. It has the Nusach of a Birchas HaShavach. But the Rambam writes very clearly that this is a Birchas HaMitzvah. Ramban, quoted in, primarily by the Shita, says that the way to understand this bracha, that we're about to get married, and we mention Aroyos, and we mention Arusos, and we mention, then we mention Nesuos, Aidei Chuba V'Kiddushin, and we mention Mekadish Yisrael. The Ramban says that the bracha is like every other Birchas HaMitzvah. And that is to focus on Kiddushas Yisrael and the sanctity which the Jew receives by doing this particular mitzvah. The Kiddusha Kiddush Baruch Hu wants to impose upon us. So usually every mitzvah, the mitzvah itself is distinct from anything else that the Goyim do. So the mitzvah itself, the Maisa mitzvah, the very act carries with it some unique quality of Klal Yisrael. And one can simply focus on the Maisa mitzvah itself. And we can clearly see Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to draw us into his Kedusha by this Maisa Mitzvah. When it comes to Ishus, when it comes to getting married, the Rambam is very clear at the beginning of Hilchas Ishus that the basic concept of Ishus, of marriage, we share with the Goyim. But our Ishus is different. So before a person gets married, if he wants to focus on the Kiddushas Yisrael, which we are enjoying through this act of the Kiddushin, we have to focus on the aspects of Ishus which make us different. So we focus on Aroyos because they don't have the same Aroyos we have. We focus on the Iser of Arusais and Chubav V'Kiddushin, and then we can say Mekadish Yisrael Ayde Chubav V'Kiddushin. It's interesting that the Brisker Rav points this out in his in the stencils on Chumash. So the Brisker Rav has, I think, in Lech Lecha, he has uses this approach to explain how it was that Yaakov Avinu could marry two sisters, and even though it was before Matan Torah, but didn't Yaakov Avinu, based on the Gemara in Yuma, keep Kol HaTorah Kula? So the Brisker Rav explains that he kept Kol HaTorah Kula, but his Ishus was an Ishus of a Ben Noach. The concept of Ishus, which he was tied into, was the Ishus of a Ben Noach. And an Ishus of Ben Noach is not included in the Iser of the two sisters. So even though he was keeping as much Torah as he could, but he couldn't keep the Ishus, which had not been given yet. So that Ishus was still Ben Noach. And there the Brisker Rav is formulating the same idea which the Ramban developed, that there are aspects of Ishus which express Kedushas Yisrael. And that's what the Ramban was pointing out. Every Birchas HaMitzvah is Asher Kedushonim HaMitzvah, so we're focusing on the Kedushas Yisrael that we are about to express. When it comes to getting married, we have to focus on certain details rather than the Ishus itself. And this approach to Birchas HaMitzvah is well borne out. Rabbi Bachya in the Karekemach says that that's the reason why we don't make brachas and mitzvah sichlius, because that does not distinguish ourselves significantly from other people, and our Kedushas Yisrael is not expressed sufficiently through mitzvah sichlius, and that's why we wouldn't make a bracha on it. The machlegis between the Rosh and the Rambam is what is the content, what is the primary focus or thrust of Birchas HaMitzvahs. According to the Rosh, Birchas HaMitzvahs, the way the Ritva says it in Kiddushin, is to prepare a person, he's doing a Maisa Mitzvah, to focus a person on the act that he's going to do right now. Perhaps we can say it's to be Mazkir Shem Shemayim Ala Mitzvah, where the Ozeru would say it. But it's primarily to focus the person on the Maisa Mitzvah that's going to happen right now. And that's why the Rosh's understanding of Birchas HaMitzvahs could not tolerate this unusual bracha before Erison, and he had to say for that and other reasons that it's a Birchas HaShemach. However, the Rambam and the Ramban, since they see that the purpose of the Birchas HaMitzvah is to prepare a person, to have a person focus, not on the Maisa Mitzvah per se, but on the Kedushas Yisrael, which is coming to him via the Maisa Mitzvah. So it made sense that when we do an activity which in and of itself does not express Kedushas Yisrael, but there are trappings which express Kedushas Yisrael, then the Baruch has to focus on those aspects. And that is the resolution that Chazal established for ourselves to be matir. How could an individual approach in mitzvah? How does an individual, if he thinks about it, how can he go beyond the boss of Adam? How can he go beyond his physical characteristics and try to touch the Kedusha of Kedush Baruch Hu that he's giving us through mitzvahs? So Chazal say that if you say that you understand the Kedush Baruch Hu, this is the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and the Kedush Baruch Hu is being Mekadesh ourselves through mitzvahs and through Klal Yisrael, so then one has focused on it sufficiently and we can proceed then to do the Maisa Mitzvah. I'd like to look at a different suya, just again to say an approach from the Rav, and I think that momentarily the Tzad HaShav will become apparent. The Rav had a new approach to the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. In the yeshivas, the approach that is usually taken to Kavod Shabbos, you know, Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos include all the different acts of bathing and washing and having good food and having the room set up for Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon points out in Tov Kuf Chav Tes that which we do in Erev Shabbos, prepare for Shabbos, often distributed to Beit Halevi as well, and that is Kavod Shabbos. And that which we do on Shabbos itself, that's called Oinig Shabbos. And the riot that went with marshals, that the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Yates, that L'Kdosh Hashem Mechuban, Zuyah Mekipurim, She'ein bo le achilu v'lo ishtiya om retorah chabdeyu b'chsus nekiya. Yom Kippur doesn't have the classic forms of oinig, there's no achilu ishtiya. All it has is chabdeyu b'chsus nekiya, so the Gemara chooses the word chabdeyu because we would presumably get dressed before Shabbos and before Yom Kippur, and then the Tziv then takes the next step and says that since Kavod Shabbos is being done Erev Shabbos, so Kavod Shabbos is really a hechsher mitzvah for Einig Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is the preparation for Einig Shabbos, all which is rather intuitive. It's clear that the Rambam could not go along with this definition of Kavod Shabbos. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Perek Lamed, Eizu Kavod Ze Shomu Chachamim Shemitzvah Lodom L'Rechoyitz Pondov Yodom V'Raglov Bechamen, Be'erev Shabbos, Be'mnei Kovid Shabbos, U'mesateif B'tzitzis, V'yoyshev V'chovid Rosh, Mi'achel Akbolos P'nei Shabbos, Le'kras HaMelech, V'chachomim Rishoynim Ayu Mekabtsin Talmidei Be'erev Shabbos, U'mesatfim V'emim Bo V'nei Tzitzis Le'kras Shabbos HaMelech. The Rambam, when he defines what is Kovid Shabbos, not what is a part of Kovid, but Eizu Kovid, what is this Kovid that Chazal speak about, so that's what Chazal tell us, to bathe before Shabbos, fine. That could be well within the gross definition. But then he says, but then Kovid Shabbos is that when is Misateif B'tzitzis, and when sits very seriously waiting to receive the Shabbos, the Kras HaMelech, and the Chachamim Rishonim used to get the Talmidim together, and they all were Misateif B'tzitzis, and they all said, Bo V'neis the Kras Shabbos HaMelech. Furthermore, the Rambam, when he places the various mitzvahs of Kavod Onik Shabbos, he places the preparation of the food under Onik Shabbos, not Kavod Shabbos. And furthermore, the Rambam says that the Malava Malka, that we have to accompany the Melech at the close of Shabbos, that's part of Kavod Shabbos. It's very hard to fit this all into the Vilna Gaon's approach. The Rav pointed out that there are two steps to the mitzvah of Kavod Onik Shabbos. The first step, the first part of the mitzvah, which is a common denominator to Kavod Onik Shabbos, is that we have to make Shabbos different than all of the days of the week. And the proof that the Rav brought to this assertion is that when the Rambam defines the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, he talks about dressing differently. And then he says, "Lo yeh malbush achol ke malbush haShabbos." So we have to dress differently in Shabbos and Chol. V'im ein lo lachliv, and if he doesn't have what to change into, he doesn't have clothes. So instead of saying, "So you can't be mekayem the mitzvah," you don't have it. Then mishalshel taliso kedei shlo yeh malbusho ke malbush Chol. So one lowers one's toga. So one is like an aristocrat. One has to pick it up. Because one's not going into dirty places, one pretends that one is a richer person and wears and uses the same clothing and wears it a little bit differently. That's the makor that many people have to wear kapotas and Shabbos. It's a shulshul, taliso, so that his malbush should be different. But you see from this Rambam that one basic part of kavod Shabbos is to make Shabbos different. The same thing onig Shabbos. The Rambam says you have to have nicer food. What happens if your food during the week is so luxurious that you just don't, there isn't nicer food? What happens if one is that poor, one can't afford better food for Shabbos? So the Rambam says, so we eat at a different time. So that all of these are part of the mitzvah of Kavod Onig Shabbos means that at one step of the understanding of Kavod Onig Shabbos must be to make Shabbos different. And the Rav, and this is already printed up in the Shurim, that with this, the Rav explained the difficult nusach in the Rambam, because the Rambam opens up the perek on Hilchas Kavod Onig Shabbos with the introduction, Shnai min HaTorah, Shnai min Divrei Soferim. There are two mitzvahs min HaTorah, the two min Divrei Soferim, and the ones that are min Divrei Soferim, Mufuroshim al Yenivim, Shebet Torah Zachar V'Shamor, and finishes partially in Vim, Kavod Onig. So why does the Rambam, before he's really closing up Hilchas Shabbos, why does the Rambam all of a sudden give us a sikum, give us a summary of the mitzvahs deiraisa, and then the mitzvahs that are b'divrei soferim? So the Rav explained, because that the Chazal, the soferim, the Nevi'im, who established the mitzvah of Kavod Onig Shabbos, were really extending the mitzvah deiraisa of Zachar V'Shamor, because at the root of all the malachis of Shabbos is that Shabbos should be different. The Rav explained that that's an underlying aspect of the mitzvah deiraisa of Shabbos. And Chazal then drew on this underlying aspect of the mitzvah of Shabbos and formulated Kavod Va'oneg. Also, at the root, the mitzvah is to make Shabbos different by clothing and by one's food on Shabbos. However, that's only the common denominator of Shabbos, of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos. Then the Rambam explains that Chazal took the next step. And the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos is something which requires ituf. The person has to draw one's talus over one's head to mekayim Kavod Shabbos. And miyachal kabbalas pnei Shabbos. The Rav pointed out that the only thing that requires ituf is some form of kabbalas hashchina. And therefore one has to say that Kavod Shabbos must be defined as the acts that we do in order to be mekabel pnei hashchina, which is about to come on Shabbos. And Aniyas Daitri, that's the only way to explain why, how Malava Malka can be part of Kavod Shabbos. Malava Malka, when a head of state comes to town, so we have a welcoming dinner, and you always have a farewell dinner. So the Malava Malka is part of the way in which we express that we understand that every Shabbos the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to join us. And that's why the Rambam is very adamant that the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos has to be done, has to be accomplished personally. The Gemara talks about the Amiram, who personally used to salt, the fish, and Rav Huna himself used to fix the candles, and Rav Papa himself used to twine the wicks for the candles. And the Rambam says, Chayiv la'asos devarim shein l'tzorech Shabbos begufoy shezeu kvoidei. So the Netziv would say, it's a famous approach, Hechshe mitzvah ksuva b'teira, so mitzvah bo yesev m'shluchan. But the Rambam seems to be saying that since the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos is that we are acting out the Kabbalah, Pnei Hashchina, so if a person gets involved personally in preparing for the arrival of important guests, the arrival of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's greater Kavod. A person sends shlichim, agents, messengers to do the things that have to be done, that isn't the same kind of kavod that is appreciated if Rav Papa and Rav Huna and the Baal Abbas himself does the shopping and does some of the cleaning and some of the preparations for Shabbos. So I think that these two approaches of the Rav, Bruchas HaMitzvahs and Kavod Shabbos, are Minyan de Yoyma. The sugya of Birchas HaMitzvah, with the Rav's approach, was the way that an individual prepares himself for being mekabel Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of the individual Jew through a Kedush Baruch Hu, through mitzvahs. The sugya of Kavod Shabbos is defined al pidin as the way that a person prepares himself for the oncoming kedusha of Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. This idea that the person always has to be prepared for the acceptance of kedusha was one that the Rav discussed frequently and very often in his drushes. And the approach that the Rav took philosophically was that if sanctity, if kedusha comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, if kedusha is solely transcendental, then it's very hard to understand how Kadosh Baruch Hu's kedusha can be limited to a specific time, to a specific place. How can the Kadosh Baruch Hu's kedusha be limited by concrete boundaries, whether they're of space or of time? And how are we to distinguish between the space and time which does receive a Kadosh Baruch Hu's kedusha and that which does not receive a Kadosh Baruch Hu's kedusha? So the Rav said that halacha has an approach to this philosophical difficulty. It's interesting that in one drush the Rav said that halacha defines time and gives it specific characteristics, and by doing so that resolves part of this problem. But the Rav more often took a different approach and said that Kedusha, Kedusha Yisrael, and the Kedusha that we aspire to is not transcendental. It doesn't come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It comes only through man. We are Kaveya, the place of the Mikdash, and we are Mikdash the Klei Shoris, and we are the ones who have to write the Shem Shemayim B'Chavana, and we certainly are Kaveya Moedim. And even an article that Rav Shechter wrote many years ago that the Kedusha Shabbos and Kedusha Bechor require verbal affirmation, and through that, when it completes the Kedusha, which is about to be placed on the Bechor and on Shabbos. The Kedusha always has to come through, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha in this world has to come through us. And by doing so, it can be limited the way that we are limited. And the Rav pointed out, but if it's going to come through us, then Kedusha always comes through man yearning to raise himself. Man wanting to grow beyond his physical boundaries. Man wanting to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That before a lady becomes has tumas zava, can't go into mikdash, the suffer l'shiv in the kiyum. There has to be 7 days of anticipation. There has to be 7 days which is preparing yourself to come back in contact with mikdash kedusha. The counting of shemitah and yovel before we can accept the kedusha of shviyas, the kedusha of the yovel. So there has to be preparation, hachon, anticipation. The person has to look forward to it. And certainly, even the Kedusha of Shabbos, even the Kedusha of Shabbos, the Mechilta says, Rabbi Yitzchak Oymer Zachor Vashem Shabbos, Shalo Tehe Mona Kederech Shachir Monim, El Tehe Mona L'Shem Shabbos, that we don't count the days of the week the way others count. We always count towards Shabbos. And that's what the Ramban says, that we have Anhoga, a mitzvah, to always count every day as being a day counted towards Shabbos. That too is part of the way the individual prepares himself and expresses his what he lacks during the week and expresses what he needs and what he's looking forward to for Shabbos. And all of this is important and is necessary if the Kedusha is going to come through an individual. And the Rav then pointed out that the source for this in Torah is Sfiras Omer. That we're all counting towards Kabbalah Satorah, we're counting towards the one time when we will once again, in our own minds, live through Kadosh Baruch Hu's greatest moment of transcendence, the greatest confluence of Kadosh Baruch Hu and people, and the greatest sense of revelation. But that has to be prepared, and that's really the makor for this. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu said a person cannot wake up one morning and be mekabel pnei shechina. It has to be time set aside just to prepare. That before we even think about revelation, by the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Gili Shechina, there has to be Ukidashtem Yoyim Mocher. And the Unkulus says, Ukidashtem, V'tazminu Yoyim Edinu Mocher. You have to prepare it for it. Kedusha, in of itself, means preparation, and Kadosh, one who can be called a Kadosh, is one who is always prepared for Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. This is what we should be involved with during this period of time. That as we're counting our days from Gulas Mitzrayim to Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina, so we have to be preparing ourselves for Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. But at the very least, we have to be developing within ourselves the understanding that all of the Kedusha which is there for us to grasp, and the Kedusha Yisrael that can become so much a part of ourselves and our lives, is only there if we are open and ready and mukhan and prepare ourselves for it. If one steps back for a moment at the comments that we've collected of the Rav, the Birchas HaMitzvah, the preparation for Kabbalah's Kedusha Yisrael Holy Mitzvahs, the preparation for Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina every Friday, and the Rav's approach that Kedusha comes through man and through man's yearning for Kedusha. So we can see a theme of the Rav's thinking, and I believe Rav Blau addressed it yesterday, in that the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is amorphous and knows no bounds, only arrives through very rigid, limited activity. That's how the Rav is, one of the major theses of the Rav when it came to Halacha, is very much worked through in Yish Halacha. To my mind, it was also the hallmark of the Rav's Derech HaLimud. Whenever we were in a shiur with the Rav, the definition of the shiur and the definition of what happened in the shiur was clearly the pursuit of emes, the pursuit of truth and understanding in every sugya. This sense of bikosh emes became so natural and so commonplace to students that were by the Rav that they didn't really appreciate it. It was obvious, it was second nature. That's part of Western thinking, bikosh emes. It was only that when wanders outside of the yeshiva and reads or hears shiurim that have not been so well trained, that one gets an appreciation of what bikosh emes really is. Very often one picks up Dvar Torah, one hears a shiur, and very much of it, or almost all of it, is questions, difficulties, and terutzim. And the terutzim, as long as they answer the questions, that's a good terutz. That's far from what anything that the Rav would appreciate. A terutz without a proof. A terutz that lacked the rigorous development. Just because it answers the question, that's not a terutz. That's not something that we strive for. And when one sees that kind of an approach, so then one has an appreciation for the sense of rigor that the Rav trained his Talmidim to have. And the Rav's shiurim, every step of the argument, every step of what the Rav was developing, had to come either from a text of one of the Rishonim. Rabbi Chaim was admissible as well, but often preferable. But had to come from one of the Rishonim, or had to be proven. And if there was a step of the argument that couldn't come from a text, we didn't go that route. And the Rav often showed disdain for Chakiris if they did not naturally emerge from the text, or couldn't be very, very well justified, al pi svara. The beauty of every shiur of the Rav, of every accomplishment of the Rav in Torah, was that it at the same time had irrepressible creativity, and in the same measure a disciplined search for depth and for clarity. And this coexistence of discipline, as well as individual expression, was very much part of the life thesis of the Rav. I find it hard to imagine that it hasn't been pointed out already, but I was told it hasn't been. That when the Rav described the superhuman demands that halacha sometimes has on us, the sense of discipline that lives together with the individual expression, it's part of the Rav's life, part of the Rav's understanding of halacha, and part of almost every shir. The Rav, and this is a famous description that the Rav spoke many, many years ago, and printed it, I think, in the late 70s. So let's take an example of this confluence within halacha. So let's take avelus. Avelus in halacha consists of more than the performance of external ritual or ceremony. It's far more than that. It's inner experience of black despair, of complete existential failure, of the absurdity of being. It's a grisly experience that overwhelms man and shatters his faith. And the precept of Simchas Yom Tov includes not only ceremonial actions, but a genuine experience of joy as well. When the Torah says, "V'samachtu b'chagecha," it referred not to merrymaking and entertaining, not to artificial gaiety or some sort of shallow hilarity, but to an all-penetrating depth experience of spiritual joy, serenity and peace of mind, deriving from faith and awareness of God's presence. So now let us visualize the following concrete situation. The mourner who has buried a beloved wife or mother returns home from the graveyard where he has left part of himself, has witnessed the mockery of human existence. The house is empty, dreary. Every piece of furniture reminds the mourner of the beloved person he has buried, and every corner is full of memories. Yet the halacha addresses itself the lonely mourner and whispers to him, "Rise from your mourning and cast the ashes from your head and change your clothes and light the Yom Tov candles and recite Kiddush over wine, extolling God for the Yom Tovim, gladness and seasons of joy. Pronounce Shechianu, kept us in life, preserved us, enabled us to reach the season, and join the community who's celebrating the holidays as nothing has transpired, as the beloved person over whose death you grieve, we're still with you." And the halacha, which at times can be very tender and understanding and accommodating, may on other occasions act like a disciplinarian demanding obedience. To me, it's remarkable that the Rav's Ptira took place in Chol HaMoed, and that his Levaya was an Erev Yom Tov, and it lends new meaning to Tzadikim, Afilo B'misoson, Nigra Machai.
Yeah. Adonai Oshia HaMelech Yanenu V'yam Kareinu Baruch Hu Es Adonai Amvarach Baruch Hana Amvarach L'olam V'ed Baruch Atah Adonai Yalem V'amalam Asher Demai V'avim V'amalam Zimtzim V'amalam Shaltim V'chalib V'zmanim V'tut Kachavim V'shosim V'kimtzom V'lal Kor P'nei Chosh V'chosh V'liyor U'ma V'yom U'mei V'lai U'ma V'yom U'mei V'lai Adonai Tzibot Shema El Chai V'Kayam, Tam Yimoch Aleinu, Le'olam V'ed, Baruch Ato Adonai.